Welcome back to the Pinstripe Podcast. I'm your host, Scott, and I'm doing it solo again today. So if you heard last week, Lexi was like, oh, I'm doing this down the shore alone. I am down the shore. I'm by the beach. And it's been pretty rough week, not gonna lie. I got absolutely roasted and toasted the other day, so I've been suffering a bit for the past few days. But as a person, it's been rough. As a fan of the Yankees and all Yankee news, it's been a great week. The end of last episode and during all of last episode, we had the trade deadline going on, and it was right before the trade deadline, so we had only the news of Joey Gallo. I want to start off this episode just going through all trades that happened, or all major trades that happened, which was a lot. And then I'll end with the Yankee ones and then go right into, you know, how those guys did. So, after our episode comes out, we had, two more days, I think, for the trade deadline to end. We saw the Washington Nationals and Chicago Cubs clear out their team. Washington Nationals got rid of Kyle Schwarber. He went to Boston. And then Trey Turner and Max Scherzer both went to the Dodgers, which completely overloads the Dodgers. The Dodgers are overpowered now, and the Nationals are on a rebuild. And, I mean, they have Juan Soto, so he is young enough, and they're going to keep him for long enough that he's going to be the main point that they rebuild around. And I think a lot of the times people don't realize the amount of prospects people are getting, and like that's all they're focused on. This is the next 5 years, the next 10 years, and all things like that. We also saw Adam Duvall go from the Marlins to the Braves. We saw Eddie Rosario go from the Indians to the Braves. And Pablo Sandoval go from the Braves to the Indians. So a bunch of moves in that little time span there. And again, none of them are huge, huge names, but enough of them are, I feel, difference makers enough on their team to kind of be notable trades. We also saw Craig Kimbrel go down the road from the Cubs to the White Sox, so that makes them an absolute threat of a team, and I'm scared of them now because they have both Liam Hendricks as a closer and Craig Kimbrel, which, you know, either an 8-9 or one goes and closes one day, one closes the next day, however they want to work. I think they're still trying to figure it out. But along with that trade, Nick Madrigal went from the White Sox to the Cubs. So I think it was Madrigal and then a few other prospects, something like that. And I think two big things that the Cubs did is it's a mix of the rent players and also an overflow of they didn't want to have to pay next year's contracts. They're kind of getting them away now. So contracts are being a lot more clear. They're clearing up cap space and everything like that. Going along with the Cubs, we also saw Javi Baez go from the Cubs to the Mets. And it's an interesting pull of them going, I mean, now this is their second shortstop, so now they have Lindor and Baez. And I think they're set up now, and they did it during the World Baseball Classic, which Baez and Lindor are really good friends, and I think that's really cool, is how you can have kind of a cool relationship between the middle infielders. Baez is at second, Lindor will stay at short. Along with that, though, we also saw Chris Bryant go to the Giants. So another weapon, and especially in Chris Bryant, who has been doing pretty darn good this year, adding to a team of kind of, honestly, again, nobodies. Really, there's not a lot of people that were on the Giants that are doing over-the-top well, except, like, Gossman. Like, Posey's been always good. But, like, there's not like a Dodgers or a Padres superstar influx that would reason to why they're winning all these games, but now they kind of have another person to help them out with the push. We also saw Jose Berríos go from the Twins to the Blue Jays, and he had a good start, his first start. And, yeah, those are about the only ones. And, of course, the last one, which I want to go through, we have Anthony Rizzo come from the Cubs. all the way to New York, which is amazing to see. I love seeing that. We talked about how he was potentially going to Boston, and we talked about how his personality doesn't fit with Boston. He's too nice. And no, he came over here to New York, and I love it. I think it's amazing. The last person that we did get in trades was Andrew Heaney. Heaney is a high ERA. He was, a starter for the Angels, which kind of got me scared. And, well, we'll get there in a second when I go over their week. So we saw, after this trade deadline kind of whole situation, the Yankees faced off against the Marlins, and it was great. We had great games against the Marlins. We did nothing wrong. Anthony Rizzo had an amazing, amazing entrance and has been doing so damn well for us. He went and currently has an RBI in the first six games, which is a Yankee record. I think I said there's only four other players in the MLB who have done that in history. I just want to get right into Rizzo's stats, honestly, because he has been doing insane. So through the 20 at-bats, he's 8 for 20, which gives him a .400 average, which is a great start. So he has a .400 average. Six RBIs, three home runs. And so, he's really just been slapping the ball. And this is something. Rizzo has been okay throughout the entire season. He came in to New York. Well, technically, he came into Miami. And has just started beating the shit out of the ball. In our first game against the Marlins, he went 2 for 3 and was able to go and give us one of our RBIs that we needed. He was just somebody that we really needed on the offense, especially because we have a hit or miss offense, and Rizzo has been constantly a hit. That was another Tyone game. Tyone pitched an absolute gem again. This one, he went 5 2/3, 5 hits. 5 Ks, 0 earned, which, again, this kid's been slapping it. I can't even say kid. He's kind of a man now. But overall, a pretty good game. We saw this whole week, we kind of saw a mix-up of players who were playing, people who were sitting, where people are playing situationally, and all things like that. So that was the first game against the Rays. It was a 3-1 victory. Our second game, we won 4-2. That game was an Urmand game, which, again, Urmand, he did okay. A little bit worse than what he has been doing, but again, he got a win through 4 innings, 2 hits, 2 earned, 2 walks, 5 Ks. Again, really good. Very solid. Very works for us very well, especially being able to go. We put 4 runs on the board. Anthony Rizzo with one of those RBIs. So he went 2 for 2 that day. And, really, really showed off. This is really where he started to show off for us. We're trying to figure out where our order has been going all week. So we've been kind of mixing people around. Rizzo, I think, should sit at 4, either 3 or 4 or 5. One of those three, he's just been absolutely raking, seeing the ball perfectly fine. Joey Gallo, which we did end up picking up. I know we were kind of reporting that as we went last time. We did pick him up, and he hasn't been doing the best for us. But I don't want to be too rushed about him. Again, we just got him. It's been 7 games for him. I'm not expecting too much. We also saw a mix of Odor and Tyler Wade kind of get mixed in at third base. Tyler Wade made a very good play this game, going backhand, laying out, I think, and then also was coming in and did a pretty good play over to Rizzo, who did a good job at first of actually catching the ball, unlike some of our first basemen in the past. So a 4-2 win on that. We also saw Clay Holmes go and have his first few appearances as well. He had his first appearance was in this game. He only pitched one inning, but got out of it with no hits, no runs, nothing like that. Then he also got the day after, our last game against the Miami Marlins to try to get a sweep, which we did. A 3-1 victory over the Marlins. Goes and gets us the sweep. And again, another really good game for the Yankees. The one thing that always kind of gets nervous and, you know, you're always on the fence about is how much our offense can score. But our defense has been doing enough, I mean, especially in that Miami series, to go and limit them as much as possible. Our issue has always been like that 4-run limit. We can go and hold the team to 4 runs, but not score any offense. That day was a Montgomery day. He, again, did amazing. 5 innings, 1 earned, 5 Ks, 1 walk, 3 hits. So Montgomery's also been on an absolute grind recently. He's been doing amazing. Clay Holmes got another one, another appearance, an inning and 2/3, 1 hit, 1K. So Clay Holmes coming in, also looking really good. Joely Rodriguez, somebody we picked up during one of the trades. I don't know which one exactly it is. Oh, probably is the, sorry, I know it was. It was the Gallo trade. We picked him up, and he kind of showed his first stuff as well in this last Miami game. He went through a third of an inning and got out of it perfect. No runs, nothing. So he was looking, you can't really say he was looking like much because it was such a short time span. Still do not like Zach Britton. I just want to make that known. Lexi and I on the same page. Our dad's on the same page. Everybody's on the same page about him. He's just been too inconsistent and too risky and hasn't been able to find the strike zone. Against Miami, he went and was able to get out of an inning. He walked the first batter, and then Jazz Chisholm was up and was just swinging so much. He was overswinging and swung at literally every pitch. I think there was only one that was in the strike zone, and he swung at everything else and ended up grinding into a double play. That was a ground ball to Anthony Rizzo, and Anthony Rizzo did the play, which, you know, new god in New York there. But we got the sweep in Miami, and we came back home for a homestand against the Orioles. First game was kind of a wreck, not gonna lie. That was an Andrew Heaney start. So Heaney was the guy we just picked up from the Angels. We go, and we try him out. 4 innings, 6 hits, 4 earned off of almost, I'm pretty sure, entirely home runs. So it was kind of a train wreck on that part. 4 innings, 4 earned is pretty damn rough. But along with this, we ended up losing 7-1. It's kind of disappointing a bit. Also seeing that our offense really didn't put much up in the situation because, hey, you got 4 earned on you in 4 innings, but we didn't put anything up. Joely Rodriguez went and got his second appearance here, went through 2 innings, 2 hits, 2 earned, with a walk and a strikeout. So, you know, kind of showed the real part of him, but again, that's again 2 starts, 2 very different starts. You can't really say much about either of them. You can't really have assumptions about how he pitches. Lutke kind of got more appearances. He went one inning, 1 strikeout. Albert Abreu went 2 innings, 3 hits, 1 earned, 2 Ks. Albert Abreu has been somebody who's one of those you kind of know because of the high number. He's like a 65 or something like that, like 60, something like that. Or sorry, 84. I'm stand corrected. He's 84. So like you kind of know him when you read it. And yeah, I think that we're starting to get a relief pitching down. It's kind of just our starting. Cole has had a lot of rough outings recently. He just got placed on the COVID list. Montgomery, after the start, got placed on the COVID list. And so we got hit pretty hard again on the COVID list. But at the same time, we're also getting a lot of people recovering. Severino is coming back. He's getting 2 starts in Somerset in his path of recovering after both Tommy John and then a groin injury. We also see Clark Schmidt. That's new news. He's starting to get rehab reps in Somerset, so he's going to get starts there. And that's a good sign of what we're going to be seeing from him as he comes up. Gio Urshela still is not doing well. Gio has still been having to be replaced on the bench. But, yeah. I don't know how I haven't mentioned this yet. If you follow our Instagram at pinstripe.podcast, you'd see that quite a special event happened during the Miami series. We kind of had a weird situation of base runners and, like, amount of people. We put King Mr. Nestor Cortez on first base as a pinch runner. It was an amazing sight to see. He really looked quite athletic out there, as in utterly not athletic. But he didn't do anything wrong, which is better than Gary Sanchez. But going back to the week that we had in each of the games, we had two more against the Orioles to go and clean up the rough first game that we had. And clean up is the best definition. Our second game, we ended up winning 13-1. And this was an amazing game. I loved watching this game purely for the point that we had a lot of young pitchers. Luis Gil went and made his MLB debut, and he did amazing. Six innings pitched, four hits, one walk, six Ks. Gil was somebody that we were a bit afraid of coming in because he has a high velocity, but also had a lot of issues of control and accuracy. But he came in and showed that he had no issue, again, with only one walk through the six innings. He went and he hits triple digits. He hits 90s, 80s. He went and had a amazing debut, and I'm looking forward to seeing him pitch more. We also saw Steven Ridings also make his debut. 6'8", 220 pounds, redhead. You look up, and I can't think that you'd expect anything from this guy. This guy is young. He's 25, and first pitch he threw, or like one of the first three pitches he threw, 101 sinker. The hell? So he went, he throws gas. I mean, you're 6'8", you throw gas easily. So he was able to gun it in. He did so well. He had like 99, 100, 101 kind of fastball sinker action, along with a knuckle curve and a slider. Knuckle curve goes into like 84. I think the slider comes in at like 88, which is absolutely filthy, going from 100 to 88. And that slider, he went in during his last batter, went and just fooled with kids. He just went through a would throw a fastball. And then his whole last batter, he went and threw nothing. He threw a knuckleball in the dirt. He threw a slider. He threw another slider that ended up getting hit. But, like, he just was bullying with kids because, I mean, the kid made one hell of a debut. He went through one inning, only allowed one hit, and then struck out the side. But along with that, finish it up, we had Brody Corner, I think it's Corner, also show his debut to kind of close it out. Through two innings, he let up two hits, one earned run, one walk. Again, hey, I mean, in comparison, that wasn't amazing, but that's still an amazing debut through two innings, only allowing one run and only two hits. Offensively, we absolutely slapped as well. Baltimore only had one error this game, and so it wasn't like Baltimore was having a rough time. That error was on a ground ball, and I think it was a ground ball to the outfield. Cedric Mullins comes up throwing, I think DJ LeMahieu was on second, rounding third to go home. The throw went and nailed second base. Honestly, I don't think you should get an error. I think that was right on the money. He nailed the base. And so the ball goes flying out of the way. DJ LeMahieu scores. Anthony Rizzo goes to second. So again, another game. Rizzo, 2-for-5 this game with one RBI as well. We saw a great time. We saw great things from everybody. LeMahieu went 2-for-4 with one RBI. Tyler Wade went 1-for-1 with two RBIs. Stanton went 2-for-5 with four RBIs, including one home run.
Aaron Judge had an RBI. Gary Sanchez had an RBI. Gleyber had two. So all around, we saw a lot of great offense from everybody. Everybody was finding the ball. Everybody was hitting. Joey Gallo, still not yet to find anything. But again, as I said, can't rush him too much. He did get two hits with us so far. He got a hit in the last game against the Marlins, in the first game against Baltimore. So hasn't been completely dry, but hasn't made as much of an impact as Anthony Rizzo has. Our final game to break the tiebreaker that we have going with the Orioles in this series, we bring the same energy as we did the night before. Not as much, but close enough. A 10-3 victory goes and closes out the series. Is a Tyone game. Tyone, again, absolutely slapped. 6 1/3, 4 hits, 2 earned, 10 Ks. Loaisa came in after. Clay Holmes and Albert Abreu all came in, swept off through the rest of the innings. 2 hits were allowed between the 3 pitchers. And so, I mean, again, absolute domination by the Yankees. They really showed what their team is and what they've came to do. Again, Rizzo was able to go and add to his RBI total and kind of this whole series that he's been having. Only went 1-for-4, but did have an RBI to his name and a walk. Joey Gallo threw 4 at-bats, only got walked once, but was able to score twice. Higashioka went and had a 1-for-2 game, including a double. And Jonathan Davis, I think we picked him up on waivers. He kind of got an appearance there, went 1-for-1.
So this is me in post. I realize I forgot something really important. In this game, we saw Cedric Mullins, who again is the best player on the Orioles, besides arguably Trey Mancini. No, Mullins is better. But we saw him go, and early in the game, hit a ground ball to right, and then was able to get a double out of it. And it was really funny because then somebody posted a tweet about it and goes, "Haha, Cedric Mullins too fast for you, Judge," and showed the clip. Then later in the game, I think this is in the 8th inning, Cedric Mullins goes and drops one into right and goes and tries for 2 again and then gets absolutely lasered out by Judge. And I think that, you know, that's something we really haven't seen a ton of Judge. He really hasn't had to do that a ton this year, especially with, you know, him not always being in. Going and seeing his arm is really something that I think not enough people see, and he doesn't get enough attention for that. But yeah, so I wanted to add in. Let's continue with the rest of the episode.
It was really, again, a great week. I think besides that one Orioles game where we didn't have an offense, I think we have a great week going for us. And as I said earlier, Anthony Rizzo absolutely slapped for us so far. As I said, he is 8-for-20, batting .400. So, with only 1 strikeout, I think that same thing with, like, people are afraid of Joey Gallo. They're like, hey, he's a strikeout or home run kind of guy. I think going and bringing in Anthony Rizzo kind of subdued that utterly. I mean, he really has been doing an absolute great job for us. He's been doing great. Tyone's been doing great. I'm looking forward to the next heel start. And, you know, I'm looking forward to the next few series and games that we have as a whole. Montgomery, again, somebody we've been talking about for a while now who's been doing really good.
I'm confident to go and see him go out there.
We do have a tough series coming up now, a series at home against the Mariners. Mariners, who have been one of the hottest teams in baseball, and so I think it's going to be a real tough series against them. I think both teams are coming in here. Yankees coming in winning, having won 7 of their last 9.
really on a good roll there, dropping, of course, one to the Rays, one to the Orioles that I just talked about. Mariners on a similar roll, but not as well. I mean, they're a little bit more behind than they are. They lost one to the Rangers, two to the Astros in their series. Oh, sorry, they dropped two to the Rangers. All they did was be able to go and beat the Rays two out of three times. So Mariners, who have kind of showed that they're really good, also have kind of been set back a bit. But again, I think it'll be a very good day.
Right now, ESPN has a probable pitcher for tonight, which is Thursday, as Nestor Cortes. But again, we don't really know if it's actually going to be King Nestor or not. I think it will be, though, because of time-wise, and he hasn't pitched in a while. The last time he had an appearance was running.
I think it will be Cortes, which I am perfectly fine with seeing that. King Nestor is the best, and I love all directions that our pitching is going. Honestly, the only one that I don't like would be Montgomery going out. I think Cole getting COVID is actually somewhat of a good thing.
I think it kind of can get him reset, refocused. I mean, you have 10 days to yourself, really. Go and figure out what you've been doing, because it's been a bit rough so far. Been a buff recently, I should say.
But stats that I want to look into is Tyone specifically. He's been doing so well. Six earned runs against him through all of July and then the one game in August. Six total runs in 37 and a third innings. Really, it was a great job. He had a 1.16 ERA in July.
As we posted again, he was a pitcher of the month, which was great to see, especially after such a pretty rough beginning. I mean, first month of April going and having a above six and then dropping that down a bit to a 4.45. But, you know, he was a bit of a rocky start. But again, you can't blame the kid. You can't blame the guy. He hasn't pitched in whatever, a year and a half it's been.
I don't remember the exact date, 2 years, whatever the hell, however long it's been for him. But I really love seeing him on the rise. I love seeing the ability and the potential that Heal has. Clay Holmes is really showing a lot. And I'm really looking forward to a lot of these younger pitchers. And especially, as I said, I'm looking forward to seeing Riding, him show up. I'm happy to see Seve back on the rehab and everybody like that back on the rise. And I'm really excited for the next few weeks for this team.
But that is all that I have on the Yankees so far this week. We've been doing really good. I'm really looking forward to what we have coming up, especially against the Mariners, who have been pretty good, but also kind of got set back recently. But move on to go around the league. We had a few other things go on. This kind of happened last week, but I didn't mention it. Abraham Toro hit a solo home run against the Mariners as an Astro and then got traded from the Astros to the Mariners and hit a home run against the Astros. So kind of confusing there. He went from Astros, hit a home run, and went to the Mariners and hit a home run against the Astros. I think that's a really cool thing. I think it was the first time it's ever happened, something like that. I think that's kind of a funny thing, to being like, hey, you're just going to go to the other team's dugout tonight. But we saw the benches clear in Chicago, the White Sox versus the Indians. Bottom of the eighth inning, bases were loaded, and James Karinek, I still don't know how to say his last name, but he is kind of becoming more popular because he is a pretty skilled reliever, went and hit Jose Abreu in the head. You could very much tell that it's not intentional because of the way that he reacted. He immediately, I mean, of course, Abreu went down immediately, but Karinek also went, like, kind of down to the ground immediately as well. You could tell he didn't mean to do it at all. Tony La Russa is an absolute psycho and is weird, is a horrible manager, I think. I don't know who the catcher is for the Indians, or sorry, technically now will be Guardians in a way. Maybe not Guardians. Apparently, there's a whole lawsuit going on. We talked about that last week, but whatever goes on with it. The catcher came in and checked on Abreu because, I mean, he just got hit in the head. And he was checking on him, hoping he's okay, making sure he's okay. And Tony La Russa comes sprinting out of the dugout and goes to the catcher. His Jose Abreu is on the ground in pain, and La Russa goes to the catcher and he's like, hey, back off, back off. Like, Tony, bud, stay off a few more drinks. I mean, you were like too many at that point. What the hell? That guy's trying to help you. Hey, go make sure your player's okay. Abreu, who, again, is a very, very good player for you, make sure he's okay, and then have a discussion with the umpires and the other team. But, like, you are just... you're not helping your case of being liked. Stay on the White Sox, though.
Sebi Zavala was the only player in history to hit his first 3 home runs in a single game. That is insane to see anybody hit 3 home runs in a single game. Never mind your first 3 of your career. We also saw Rafael Ortega have a 3 home run game for the Cubs. So maybe the Cubs are trying to make a name for themselves, and they're trying to kind of rise up, because all they have, they really don't have anybody left on the team. Jonah Heim for the Rangers had a
walk-off home run
in back-to-back games. He is the only player in Rangers franchise history to go and have a walk-off home run in back-to-back games. I can't imagine there's a lot of franchises who actually do have somebody who's hit back-to-back home run, walk-off home runs. So, again, a really cool instance, a really cool event. Final trade, I forgot, I didn't add this in, I wanted to add this in. This kind of happened like right at the end. Cole Hamels technically wasn't traded, but was signed off of the Braves roster. The Dodgers picked him up, so that grabs them another insane arm in the pen. So they are an absolute threat now with having picked up Scherzer as well. Cole Hamels is kind of a guy, I mean, again, you see him, they signed him, so wasn't a guy with a team, wasn't a guy that had a great year going, especially recently, but he is a guy that has, he's a veteran arm, a veteran idea bringing to the team. Finally, to kind of keep baseball, ditch baseball kind of idea, Eddie Alvarez, somebody who we talked about so long ago. We talked about he was on the Marlins. He was a Olympic speed skater. He was on the Marlins. Yeah, he got dropped. But he's on the Team USA team for the Olympics, and they are currently, not currently, but on Saturday morning, they will be in a game fighting for gold against Japan. So if you didn't know, Eddie Alvarez will become the 6th athlete in history to medal in both Winter and Summer Olympics. So he went and medaled in speed skating and was able to go and is going to medal in baseball. I will look this up right now. I know that Team USA went and played against Japan, and Masahiro Tanaka was pitching. I think that was really interesting. I don't know how it went, though, if my stuff would like to load. So in a game between the U.S. and Japan, the U.S. ended up taking it. Tanaka was pitching. He pitched only 3 and 2/3 innings. He left only with allowing 3 earned runs, which is kind of surprising. But you know, it's kind of a cool thing to go and see Tanaka pitch again, especially since we didn't re-sign him. Maybe it was a good idea. I wouldn't like to say that, though, but just saying. But yeah, again,
U.S. is going and battling again against Japan for gold. But, you know, rooting for them. Hell yeah. But, yeah, that's it for this week of the Pinstripe Podcast. Again, if you want to go and would like to share it, if you enjoyed it, share it, like it, whatever the heck you need to do on whatever app or device or whatever the heck you listen to us on, go ahead and do that. If you want updates on any kind of news of either people's appearances or lineups, we try to get final scores. Sometimes we do, sometimes we can't. Go and follow us on our Instagram at pinstripe.podcast. But yeah, you guys have a good one. I'll see you next week. Bye.